Hi there, this is Kevin Skinner, pastor at First Baptist Church in Stockdale, Texas, and welcome to our weekly message podcast. If you live in the Stockdale area, then I would invite you to join us every Sunday morning at 11 a.m. to worship with us in person. You can also check out our webpage at fbcstockdale.org. Here at First Baptist, we are a community church with a kingdom mission, and we invite you to join us on that mission. So this probably won't come as a surprise to you, but Easter is certainly one of my favorite times of the year. Christmas time really is my favorite time of the year, but Easter is one of my favorite times of the year. Now, as a pastor, Easter has taken on a little bit more meaning for me because on Easter Sunday, I don't just get to hear and be reminded of the gospel, which, by the way, if that's all it were for me, to hear and be reminded of the gospel, that would be enough. That's how good the gospel is. But Easter, for me as a pastor, I get to proclaim the gospel every single Easter Sunday. And while certainly I proclaim the gospel every Sunday, there's something special about proclaiming the gospel on Easter Sunday morning as we are remembering as we are celebrating our resurrected Lord. Now, when I was growing up, Easter felt like second Christmas because at Easter, right, it is such a celebration, which, by the way, outside of the church building today, just out by those benches, we have signs for you to celebrate with your family. You can take pictures with those signs so that you can share those on social media or just have them for yourselves, but it is a time to celebrate. And when I was a kid, we would celebrate. I knew that we were going to get baskets with little gifts in them, and I also knew that we were going to get new clothes at Easter time. In fact, leading up to Easter Sunday every year, I knew that we were going to be going to the mall so that we could get our Easter Sunday outfits, and those Easter Sunday outfits, they were going to be brightly colored. They were probably going to match the rest of the family, and they were going to look really nice. In other words, we were going to look our best on Easter Sunday morning. So we're in the middle of a series right now here at First Baptist Church Stockdale titled The Resurrected Life. And as we're going through this series, we're walking through the book of Ephesians. If you're newer with us this morning, then let me invite you to come back and join us as we continue through this series. We're just now making it to the end of chapter 1, and so there's much more to look at, and so I would invite you, come back and continue this series with us. Now, as we think about the resurrected life, I want you to understand the resurrected life is not about putting on fancy clothes and making ourselves look our best. Now, there's nothing wrong with dressing up in fancy clothes. There's nothing wrong with wanting to look good on Easter Sunday morning. Truth be told, I enjoy seeing all of the brightly colored outfits on Easter Sunday. But Easter Sunday is really not about all of that. The resurrected life is not about all of that. The resurrected life is not about us changing how we look on the outside. The resurrected life is about Jesus changing who we are on the inside. And let's not forget that. The resurrected life is not about us changing how we look on the outside, but the resurrected life is about Jesus changing who we are on the inside. You see, we can work really, really hard to make a lot of external changes. Maybe we change this here and we change that here. We try to stop doing this. We try to stop doing that. Or maybe we want to begin a new habit. So we start doing this and we start doing that. And we do a lot of things to make ourselves look good before God and others. But changing all of those external things does not deal with the root of the issue, and that is our sinful hearts. And it's Christ and Christ alone that has the power to take our sinful hearts and make our sinful hearts pure before God. So the resurrected life is not about us changing how we look on the outside. The resurrected life is about Jesus changing who we are on the inside. And we know that Jesus has the power to change us because he demonstrated just how great his power is when he rose up from the grave all those years ago. And so as we continue in this series this morning, we're going to look more closely at the power of the resurrection and what this means for us. So if you have your Bibles, you can turn with me to Ephesians chapter 1. We're going to look at verses 20 through 23 this morning. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 20 through 23. Now, in our passage last week, we saw the Apostle Paul praying for the church in Ephesus. And as he prayed for the church in Ephesus, really as a byproduct, this prayer is a prayer for us as well as a prayer for believers today. And his prayer, what we saw, he prayed for the church in Ephesus to walk in true wisdom and true enlightenment. And we described enlightenment in this way: when the lights come on and when we wake up. And so Paul prays for them to essentially wake up not to the things of this world, but to wake up to the truth of who God is. In verse 19, Paul prays for them to wake up to see the immeasurable greatness of God's power toward those who believe according to the mighty working of his strength. In other words, as we think about our lives being changed, Paul is saying that our lives cannot be changed by the power of our own strength. Now, this is not to say that we don't have the power to change anything in our own strength. But as we think about the changes that truly need to be made, not just on the outside, but on the inside for eternity's sake, here's the bottom line: we are not strong enough. And listen, this flies in the face of what our world teaches us today, what our world is constantly pushing today, because the world will push self-help and self-reliance. The world will tell you that you are strong enough and that you do have what it takes. And while this may be true when it comes to your job or when it comes to some extracurricular activity, when it comes to your salvation, to saving yourself, listen, we are not good enough, we are not strong enough, and we do not have what it takes. Because here's the reality: in our own strength and in our own power, this is where we find ourselves in the mess of our sin to begin with. Because if I'm honest with myself, my own heart desires sin. If I'm honest with myself, my own flesh desires to walk down the path of unrighteousness. As I look at myself, I realize I am not good enough. I am not strong enough. I do not have what it takes. But I want you to hear me. While we are not strong enough, God is. While we are not strong enough, God is. God is strong enough to save us. God is strong enough to change us. God is strong enough to bring us into a right relationship with himself. While we are not strong enough, God is. And both the cross and the resurrection are a demonstration of the immeasurable greatness of God's power towards those who believe. So let me just pause right here and ask this morning, have you experienced the immeasurable greatness of God's power? In other words, have you turned from your sins, confessing Jesus as Lord, submitting to the power of Christ in your life that you might be change, not just on the outside, but on the inside too? Have you experienced the immeasurable greatness of God's power? And if you haven't, then my prayer would be that today would be the day for you to experience the immeasurable greatness of God's power and to be changed by Christ today. And what better day for this to happen on than on Easter Sunday as we remember our resurrected Lord? So now that we've been reminded of the immeasurable greatness of God's power in verse 19, let's look at our passage, because in our passage, we're going to see Paul talk more about God's power as it pertains to the resurrection. So with that in mind, let's read Ephesians 1, 20 through 23. It says, "He exercised this power in Christ by raising him from the dead and by seating him at his right hand in the heavens, far above every ruler and authority, power and dominion, and every title given, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And he subjected everything under his feet and appointed him as head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of the one who fills all things in every way. Now, as we look at this passage, I want to begin by highlighting just the first few words there that we see in verse 20. As we've talked about God's immeasurable greatness of power, in verse 20, at the very beginning, we see it says, he exercised this power. Now, I don't know about you, but I've had some bad bosses in my day that when they exercised their power, they did not exercise their power in a good way. One boss stands out above the rest for me. We'll just call him Bob because that was his name. So this was when I was not in full-time ministry. I was working full-time in the business world. I was working in the healthcare system in the business office that managed 5 hospitals in the state of Oklahoma. And when I first started there, man, things were great. Morale among the employees was great. We were getting bonuses every single month. There were opportunities for growth and advancement. But then Bob was hired as our VP, essentially to oversee the business office. And when Bob was hired, man, things changed and not for the better. It seemed like every time Bob exercised his power, it made our lives more difficult. Our bonuses went away, opportunities for growth and advancement went away, and overall morale in the office, it just tanked. He had power, but it was not a good exercise of his power. Now, in reality, this is just a minor example because we can think of leaders in our country and around the world that are in much higher positions, and they don't just use their power, but they abuse their power to the detriment of their people. So I want you to understand, as we see that God exercised this power here in verse 20, I want you to understand this was not an abuse of his power. This was the greatest use of his power. Because it is through this great display of his power that those who believe can say without a shadow of a doubt that we have been forgiven, that we have been transformed, and that we have been redeemed. No longer do we have to live in the bondage and the hopelessness of our sin. Rather, because God exercised this power, we have been set free. This was not an abuse of his power. This was the greatest use of his power. And praise God that he chose to use his power for you and for me. So now as we continue to walk through this passage, there are a few things that I want you to see that are a result of God's immeasurable power. So let's look at these things together. First, we see that Jesus was raised. Let's look at the first half of verse 20 now. It says, he exercised this power in Christ by raising him from the dead. Jesus was raised. This is what Easter is all about. Easter is not about the Easter bunny. It's not about the Easter baskets. It's not about the Easter outfits. All of those things are okay, and those are fun, especially for the kiddos. But those things are not the true reason why we celebrate Easter. The real reason why we celebrate Easter is because Jesus was raised up from the dead. To put it simply, we are here because of Jesus. Hear that again. We are here because of Jesus. Amen. Now, as I say that we are here because of Jesus, I mean this in a couple of ways. First, I mean this quite literally. We are here on a Sunday morning gathered together worshiping because of Jesus. In fact, prior to Christ's death and resurrection, Jews would have gone to the temple on Saturday at the end of the week in celebration and in observance of the Sabbath. But once Jesus was raised from the dead, the early church, they began to gather on Sunday to come together, to worship together, because they wanted to be together on the day that Jesus was raised up from the dead, on Sunday. And so as we think about coming together on Sunday morning to worship together on Sunday morning, we are literally here because of Jesus. Now, this is not to say that it would be wrong to worship on any other day of the week. In fact, I would remind you that we should worship not just on Sundays. We should worship every day of the week. And so it would not be wrong to gather and worship on any other day of the week, but this is a good reminder that just from a historical standpoint, we gather to worship on Sunday because of Jesus. We're here because of Jesus. But also when I say we're here because of Jesus, I don't only mean this literally, I also mean this spiritually speaking. Because apart from the resurrection, our gathering would be in vain. Our gathering would be meaningless. Truly, if Christ had not raised from the dead, what are we doing here? If Christ had not raised from the dead, then the songs that we sing have no meaning. If Christ has not been raised from the dead, then reading from God's word is useless. If Christ has not been raised from the dead, then why are we celebrating salvations and baptisms? To celebrate all of that apart from the resurrection of Christ would be completely useless. In fact, Paul said it this way in 1 Corinthians 15, 17 through 19. We actually read this at the sunrise service this morning. It says, "And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is worthless. You are still in your sins. Those then who have fallen asleep in Christ have also perished. If we have put our hope in Christ for this life only, we should be pitied more than anyone." In other words, if Christ has not been raised from the dead, we would be better off packing up, shutting the doors, and never coming back, because what we are doing has absolutely no value and no meaning. But the good news is that Paul doesn't stop in verse 19. Paul goes on to say in verse 20, "But as it is, Christ has been raised from the dead." You see, what we are doing is not meaningless. The songs that we sing are not useless. God's word for us is not fruitless. And our worship, our gathering, is not in vain. All of it has great meaning and great purpose, because Jesus is not still in that tomb. Jesus is alive. We are here because of Jesus, and because we know that Jesus is alive today. So we see that Jesus was raised. Second, we see that Jesus now reigns. Let's look at the rest of verse 20 through verse 21. It says, "And seating him at his right hand in the heavens, far above every ruler and authority, power and dominion, and every title given, not only in this age, but also in the one to come." Jesus now reigns. Now, this is such a beautiful picture for us, because when Jesus came into this world to become a man, Jesus stepped off of his throne in heaven, and he put on flesh and blood, becoming one of us, that he might go to the cross to become a ransom for many. But after Jesus died and after Jesus rose again, he ascended to heaven, and that throne that he once stepped off of to come into this world, he sat back down on, and he still sits there and he still reigns from that throne today. Now, there are a couple of implications for the believer because Jesus reigns. First, because Jesus reigns, you serve a higher authority. And this is such a great reminder to me, especially in 2024, in the midst of an election year. Because this is what I know: regardless of who gets elected to sit behind the desk in the Oval Office, Jesus already sits enthroned in heaven. And while our earthly leaders may change every election cycle, the authority of Jesus absolutely, without a doubt, never changes. And so the reality is, when Jesus reigns, we can find comfort in the midst of an election year, but we can also find comfort every other year as well. Because we not only serve a good leader, we serve the best leader. We serve the King above all kings, and every ruler, every authority, and every power is subjected to him. So because Jesus reigns, you serve a higher authority. But second, because Jesus reigns, sin doesn't have to. And maybe that's a reminder that you need to hear today. Because Jesus reigns, sin doesn't have to. Maybe you came here today feeling enslaved by the bondage of your sin, feeling enslaved to the weight of that guilt and that shame. Maybe you came here today feeling trapped in an addiction. I want you to hear me. Because Jesus reigns, none of that has to reign in your life any longer. Because Jesus reigns, His power is greater than all of those things. And so you can be set free from your sin. You can be set free from that addiction. You can be set free from that guilt and that shame. Because Jesus reigns, sin doesn't have to. And so the question is, it's not, does Jesus reign? Jesus does reign. Without a shadow of a doubt, Jesus reigns. The question this morning, however, is, does Jesus reign over you? Does Jesus reign over you? Jesus sits enthroned in heaven, but have you allowed Him to sit on the throne of your heart? Have you allowed Him to be the king over your thoughts? Have you allowed Him to be the king over your words? Have you allowed Him to be the king over your actions? When you wake up each day, do you set out to accomplish your own will, or do you live in submission to His will? Jesus reigns, but does Jesus reign over you? And if He doesn't, then my prayer is that today you would submit to His authority, that you would allow Him to reign over you this very day. So we see that Jesus was raised. We see that Jesus now reigns. Finally, this morning, we see that we are called to represent. And by we, I mean the church. We, the church, are called to represent Christ in this world. Let's look at verses 22 through 23 again. It says, "And He subjected everything under His feet and appointed Him as head over everything for the church, which is His body, the fullness of the One who fills all things in every way." We are called to represent. Now, the wording there can be somewhat confusing, so let me offer this thought to you this morning. God has chosen for the fullness of the church to display the fullness of Christ's glory. Let me say that again. God has chosen for the fullness of the church to display the fullness of Christ's glory. Let me explain it this way. My wife is beautiful. Even without makeup, my wife is beautiful. And so when she wears makeup, she doesn't wear makeup in order to become beautiful. When she wears makeup, it simply highlights her beauty. The beauty is already there, but when she wears makeup, it highlights her beauty. So I want you to know, Christ is already glorious. Everything about Jesus is fully glorious. And so He does not need the church to make Him glorious. But in God's grace, God has allowed for the church to be representatives of Christ in this world that we might highlight His glory. Christ is already glorious, but we, the church, highlight His glory. As we allow for the resurrection power to take root in our lives, as Jesus brings us into a right relationship with God, as we are living out what He has called us to be, His body in this world, none of that makes Christ glorious, but all of it highlights His glory that is already there. We are called to represent, to be His representatives in this world, because of the resurrection. And so we, the church, those who have been saved, we get to be the objects by which we point back to just how wonderful, just how marvelous, and just how powerful our God is as that resurrection power takes root in our life and as we live it out every single day. Through His power, we see Jesus was raised. Through His power, we see that Jesus now reigns, and through His power, we see that we are called to represent. And the same power that raised Jesus from the grave is the same power that changes us, not just on the outside, but on the inside too, that we might live out this resurrected life. But listen, if you're here today and you would say that this power is not alive in your life, you would say this power is not at work in your life because you have never turn from your sins, confessing Jesus as Lord, then I want to give you the opportunity to respond this morning. In just a moment, we're going to sing another song. As we sing this song, this is going to be your opportunity to respond. And if you're here today and you would say, that's me, I have never surrendered to Jesus Christ as Lord. I am still living in the power of my sins, enslaved, in bondage to my sins. But today I'm ready to be set free. Today I'm ready to turn from my sins, confessing Jesus Christ as Lord. If that's you, then I would invite you to respond this morning. I'm going to be standing right down front. I'd love to talk with you and pray with you. Today can be the day, this Easter Sunday can be the day that your life is transformed by the resurrection power of Jesus Christ. Now, maybe you're here and you would say, you know what, I have given my life to Christ already, but I've never taken that next step to make my faith in Christ public through baptism, just like Justin did this morning. If that's you, if you need to make that commitment to be baptized, to make your faith in Christ public in that way, then I would invite you to respond as well. I'd love to talk with you, pray with you, and today we can make that commitment together. Maybe you're here and you would say, I've given my life to Christ. I've been baptized by immersion already. And you've been visiting First Baptist Church Stockdale. And you know God is calling you to make this your church home, to connect your life with this body of believers right here at First Baptist Church. If that's you, I would invite you to respond as well. Whatever it is that God is calling you to do in these final moments, I would encourage you to respond obediently as we sing. Would you stand with me right now? Let's go to the Lord in prayer together.
Thanks for listening to our weekly message podcast. At the end of every service, I offer an invitation to respond, and I'd like to invite you to respond today. If you'd like to make Jesus Christ your Lord, or if you'd like information about membership here at First Baptist Stockdale, then head on over to fbcstockdale.org/respond. Your response will come directly to me, and I'll follow up with you this week. God bless you, and have a great week.